Nehemiah. Shortest guy in the Bible. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry, was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble?" Had a lot of questions, didn't he? Burned as they are. And Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? If even a fox climbed on it, he would break down their wall of stones." I want to share with you, God is rebuilding and God is building something in your life and in here at Grace. God, listen, God is building something. You know, and it's all about your perspective. It's all about your perspective. Here, Nehemiah, I'll just give you some background leading up. Nehemiah had a vision from God. God stirred his heart, said, "Go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall for me." And here Nehemiah has come back, and they have begun the arduous task and the work of rebuilding. But of course, not everybody was with them. Hello. I mean, you know, when you get a vision from God, not everybody is always going to be for you. When you get a dream from God, not everybody is always going to be over there going, "Rah, rah, rah, great, good for you." No, you're going to have the Sanballats and the Tobias that are going to come by in your life. And they're not going to come by to help you. They're going to come by to discourage you, to ridicule you. Notice what he says here. He says, when they heard they were rebuilding the wall, they became angry. Well, why in the world would anybody be angry because something good is happening? Why would they be angry? Because the wall had lain there all these years, and these people had built a life of privilege and a life of power over the broken down condition of the walls. And so when the walls began to be rebuilt, they felt threatened. And their reaction was very surprising to those who were out here trying to do something for God. Have you ever been trying to live for God? You ever been doing there and God's rebuilding the walls of your life? He's putting things together. He's bringing wholeness back to you. And some people that know you, they get mad about it. They're upset about it. They want to put you down about it. They want to point out how everything is not yet built right. Why, a fox could knock you over. Who are you? Come on. Says they became and greatly incensed. You know why? Because they don't like it when they see God working in your life. People that will not allow God to work in them. You know, and listen, that can happen to any of us. We can get stuck somewhere and we get comfortable. They had gotten comfortable with the broken down walls. That became the norm. That was normal. How dare you say that God wants to put your life back together? How dare you say that God wants to use you to reach the nation? How dare you say that God wants to raise up a church here to do something for God? How dare you say that? The walls have always been broken. Now, this is normal. What do you got? You guys are crazy. I've got to find somebody that's with me in this. Where are you at? Maybe they're on TV. Maybe there. Amen. It says he ridiculed the Jews. You would have thought they would have jumped in there to help them. So, man, this is great. Wow. Yeah, you know what? Man, we're tired of looking at these old walls. We're tired of looking at these stones piled up. You realize that those stones that were all piled up, that at one time they had been very carefully cut, very carefully chosen, and by the hand of great artisans had been put together to build the walls. David and Solomon built most of those walls. If you go back and read during their reign. But yet life happened. Babylon came in. And in the time of life happening, in the storms of life, the walls got knocked down. The walls got caved in. Some of them got burnt. Some of them got broken. And isn't it interesting that God didn't send Nehemiah back with a big old load of new stones. He said, when you get there, you're going to have to see the rubble. See the rubble? See all that piled up? See, that's all the people, Sanballat and Tobiah, that's all they could ever see. But when Nehemiah got there, because he had a vision, he had a word from the Lord, he saw not just rubble, he saw a wall. He saw a possibility. He saw something that could be fitted together again by the hand of the artisan, by the anointing of God, and the wall could be rebuilt. You know, God is not looking for the perfect vessel before He will ever build something. He's not looking until everybody gets their act together in every possible area of their life. And then when you get it all together and you're finally perfected and you finally got every edge knocked off of you and you are perfectly shaped, then He's going to put you in the wall. No, I want to tell you what, just like Nehemiah, God's going to look in that pile of rubble and He's going to see some with this knocked off of them and some with that knocked off of them, but He knows how to put them and position them so that what I'm lacking you feel and what I'm lacking you feel, and He begins to build a wall.
I was thinking about this when he was talking about the wall. Nehemiah was, they were looking for the right stones to put back up and everything. And you know, when you rebuild a wall, I can relate to this because we lived out in the country. And there were stone walls in upstate New York where they kept the cattle in. They kept them within their property lines. And there were, like, you know, rows of walls. And we used to build forts out of them when we were kids. And, you know, when you're rebuilding a wall, chances are you're not going to put stone upon stone like the wall was originally. There wouldn't be any way to do it exactly, precisely the way it was done originally. So what do? You do the best you can to make sure everything's meshing together. And if there is a gap and you don't have the right size stone, you might go searching for a stone elsewhere. You might take a stone that wasn't originally in the original wall to plug it in there. So the people in the original wall, people in the original wall, you know what I mean? We're stones. We're living stones, aren't we?
That's okay? Right.
We shouldn't be upset if there's a few new stones plugged in the gaps. This is the word of the Lord. Don't get upset just because there's a few new stones, just because you were in the original wall. You see what I'm saying? Because where there's not one, you know, that's going to fit in just right, we may have to search elsewhere for an available stone. One that's nearby. One that we don't have to look far for.
And
one
remember
that's
this,
willing.
Jesus
Amen?
Is the master builder. Amen. Amen. He's the one that puts the stones where they belong. Isn't that right? He's our Nehemiah. Amen. But notice it says, what are these feeble Jews doing? What are these feeble Jews doing? You ever had the enemy come to you and say that? You, what are you? Look at you. Who do you think you are? You're not going to be able to do anything. Look here at Grace. I mean, what's Grace going to be able to do? What can these few folks do? What can they do? Well, I'll tell you one thing they can do. They can reach into 100 nations with the gospel. They can bind up the devil. They can pour in the oil and the wine to hurting people all around us. They can come in here and pray and intercede week in and week out for God to revive this nation. He says, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Here's the thing. The answer is a resounding yes. You know why? Because we got Jesus, our Nehemiah, and He has a plan and He has a purpose for your life and for our lives and for this church which belongs to Him. And if we will look to Him and yield to Him, He will put every stone, every person in the place they belong. Will they offer sacrifices? In other words, God, will God build something where there is a sacrifice offered to God? I was reading the other day in Acts 10:24. The Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, it says that the Spirit signified that when he went to Jerusalem, he was going to be delivered up to the Gentiles. And Paul answered this way. He said, neither count I my life precious. Let me ask you, church, are we counting our lives too precious? Too precious for sacrifice? Too precious to give God this or that or this area? Too precious to give God the time that He asks? Is our life too precious and too valuable? Is it filled up with too many other things that mean more to us than God building our lives? Will they finish in a day? Absolutely not. Listen, you know, people will always point to what is wrong. Are you listening? I'm talking about the Tobias and the Sanballats. They got that spirit. You ever been, I hope you're not around them much, but you ever been around people like that? It doesn't matter what God does. Somebody will say, well, why didn't He? Yeah. I mean, you can talk about God raising 10 people from the dead. Well, why didn't He raise those other two? Come on. That's all they can ever see. They see the rubble. They don't see the wall it could be. They don't see what's being built at the present. All they can see is what's wrong. But isn't it amazing? A lot of times those critics, they have no plan to rebuild the wall. And they have no intention of helping you. They just come to discourage you. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? We can allow our Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. Notice he said, can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? You know, I don't know anybody that comes to God that your life is not broken in some manner. It's broken. Some people have been burned. You ever been burned? By other people, by circumstance, by life? And you know, isn't it interesting? I begin to picture this wall in a little bit different way than I ever had before. That is this. I begin to look at that wall and I begin to see that they're not perfectly square blocks, but they're, like Cindy was talking about, they're fitted here. You know, something jutting out there, but then something filling in that place. And something's over here, but something's there. And you got big ones and you got small ones. You got medium size ones. You got, you know, and you look at that and you know what? They were scarred. Some of them had the smoke of fire still on them. And when you looked at that wall, it wasn't this beautiful, fresh, virgin stone dug up without anything on it or anything. No, you could see this stone had been through something. And you know what? We look at people's lives. Listen, you look at my life, you're going to see I've been through some things. I've been through some battles. I've been through some tough things in life. But I want to tell you what, when God puts me into His wall, it just makes it that much more beautiful. Makes it that much more beautiful. Apostle Paul said in Galatians, he said, don't let any man have any, I'm paraphrasing, he said, don't let any man say anything to me anymore. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you serve God, you're going to bear in your body. You're going to bear in your life. There's going to be some marks of battle. Some marks of trials. There's going to be some marks upon your life. But I want to tell you, those are marks of honor, not dishonor. Those are marks of glory, not dishonor. And those marks will qualify you for His wall, not disqualify you. You remember in John 20, after Jesus had risen from the dead? Now, I don't apologize for this. I had a nice Mother's Day message till I got up this morning in prayer, and then I got this one. But in John 20, Jesus, He had appeared. Remember, He had appeared to the 11. Thomas wasn't there. You know the story, don't you? He'd appeared, but Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said, except I see and put my hand into His sides and His fingers and so forth, I'll not believe. Jesus appeared to him. He said, Thomas, put your finger here in my hand and thrust your hand into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Isn't it interesting? Here is Jesus raised up from the dead. He has an immortal body, but yet the marks are still there. The marks will be there for all eternity. The marks of the price that he paid. The marks of honor. The marks of victory. The marks where you can look at and say, here are the marks, the residue of the victory and the sacrifice of the Son of God. But now here's the thing. Here is the thing that's good. These are marks that no longer have any pain or regret associated with them. See, some of us, we've got marks on us, all right. We've got wounds on us, but there still is pain associated with them. There's still pain associated with them. We still feel the hurt of rejection. We still feel the pain of not seeming to measure up, or the discouragement because we failed. But listen, I want to tell you this morning that your Nehemiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to make you whole and sound, not to remove the marks, but remove the sting and the pain associated with the marks. And when you look at those marks again, they will be badges of honor. They will be badges that represent the redemptive power of God in your life. He will rebuild the walls. This is what God's doing. So out of the rubble, out of everything, notice what he said. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 20. I had to just jot a couple of notes down on an envelope that was heavy this handy this morning. 1 Corinthians 20. Turn over, or 1 Corinthians 2, excuse me. Well, let me see if I got the scripture right. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 1. We'll get there. Where is the wise, excuse me, pardon me. Where is the wise man? Let me get a sip of water here. 1:20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The Jews demanded miraculous signs, Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Remember what they said to Nehemiah? What are these feeble Jews going to do? Well, hallelujah. God chooses the feeble things, the weak things, the things that are not, to confound the strong, the mighty, the wise of this age. Listen, not many mighty among us here at Grace. Not many noble, not many influential, not many of those things. But I'm going to tell you what, many have been chosen. Many have been chosen by God. Many have God's hand and seal upon you. And it is for a purpose. It is for a work that God is doing. He is building something in our lives. He's building something here at Grace Community Church. And I want to tell you, it's not just so that we can be blessed, not just so that all our needs can be met, but it is so that we can go out and make a difference to hurting humanity outside these walls. And if that does not happen, then why is God doing anything? The fact that God's doing something in our lives, doing something in your lives, should encourage you that God has a purpose that is higher than just meeting your need. Can I hear a holy grunt? Somewhere, somebody. Back to Nehemiah. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at their side, said, "What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, they would break down their wall of stones." Listen, don't let the critics get you down. Don't let the critics get you down. It doesn't matter what God does in your life or how it's doing it. Somebody's not going to like it. Somebody's going to say, "Hey, well, why isn't the rest of the wall finished if you're such a hot shot?" Why'd you have to use these old stones if you're such a hot shot? Why didn't God just make new ones for you? Blah, 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 blah. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, exactly right. Listen, they're always going to be, remember we talked about last week, the naysayers? This is exactly what they are. They're the naysayers. And he said, notice in verse 6, it says, what did they do in response to all this? He said, so we rebuilt the wall. Amen. Don't let them distract you. What is the purpose? Rebuilding the wall. They had a purpose. Don't let the naysayers, don't let the critics, don't let all this stuff coming at you keep you from rebuilding the wall. Don't let it defer you. Don't let it hold you back, but you continue to stay focused on what God's doing. Yes. Amen? Yes. I want you to turn over to Nehemiah 6. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors on the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Isn't God got a sense of humor? Listen. Now, let me tell you something now. I'm going to tell you something that you may already know. I don't know. But you know what? Your biggest critics, many times, and those who oppose you the most, are not the ones in the world. That's true. Amen. Since I've been here, I hadn't had one sinner call me up and said, you better leave town.
That's right.
I hadn't had one sinner call me up and say, Pastor, you're doing a terrible job.
Right.
I hadn't had one sinner call me up and say, we don't like you and we don't like what you're doing. Not one time. I wish I could say that same about the other group. But notice what it says here. He says, come let us meet together in one of the villages. There's too many people living in the plain of oh no. Oh no, you can't do that. Oh no, God won't do that. Oh no, that's not going to happen. Oh no, you're not going to be blessed. Oh no, you're not going to be healed. Oh no. Oh, no, you can't go on radio and TV. Oh, no, you can't go on the internet. Oh, no, you can't reach out. Oh, no. And, you know, here's the thing. They were wise enough, Nehemiah was wise enough not to go down to the village of oh, no. And listen, you need to be wise enough to recognize the inhabitants of oh, no. And don't let them speak into your life because you will get that spirit of, oh, no, on you. Oh, no. Oh, no. We don't like what they're doing there. Those Jews doing, those feeble Jews. We don't like it. Oh, no. Don't build the wall back. Oh, no. You're making us look bad. Oh, no. I mean, come on. He said, but they were scheming to harm me. I sent messengers to them. I am carrying on a great work and cannot go down. Now I want you to notice, Nehemiah saw what he was doing was what? A great work. What they saw, the enemy saw, said, oh, this is a feeble, this is nothing. A fox could knock this over. Listen, you can tell who's from the village of oh no. Come on. Because I'm going to tell you what, when they're from the village of the oh no, their speech will give them away. Isn't that right? Just like you know I'm from the South. My speech gives me away. Doesn't matter how much I try to hide, it's just the way it is. Isn't that right? You meet somebody from Brooklyn, you're going to know where they're from. Somebody from Jersey, you're going to know where they're from. Isn't that true? That's just the way it is. But I want to tell you what, spiritually, people's speech will give them away too. Because, see, those who have grabbed hold of the purpose of God, grabbed hold of the heavenly vision, will be saying this, God is doing a great work at Grace. The ones in the village of Ono will say, nothing's happening there. It ain't happening. Y'all ain't doing nothing. Nothing's good's going to come out of this. Come on. Where are you getting your news? From the village of Ono? If that's happening, all I can say is, oh, no. He said, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should I leave the work, let the work stop and leave it to go down to you? Why in the world, you know, do I want to have, you know, meet you for lunch so that you can have me for lunch? That's what Nehemiah was saying. No use me going down. I mean, you know, I can use that time to be productive. I can build some more of the wall here. All I'm going to do is go down to you, and you're going to tell me, oh, no. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, that's not the way to do it. Oh, no. Isn't that right? Four times they sent me the same message. Woo. Each time I gave them the same answer. I like Nehemiah, don't you? I like Nehemiah. Listen, this is what you got to tell when the devil comes to you and says, hey, come on over here. We can talk this thing out. We can work this thing out. Listen, I know you're believing for God to do a miracle for you in this area or that area, but listen, how about just this? And you know, the enemy will try to get you to settle. Settle for something. Settle for less than what you're believing for. Settle for less than what God wanted to do in your life. Settle for a lot less. And you know what you've got to do? You got to look at the rubble that's still left. You got to look at the wall that's not yet fully completed and say, listen, I'm busy in a great project here. My God's called me to do this. My God's grace is upon me, and I'm going to finish the wall. Boy, listen to this. He sent a letter and said, it is reported among the nations. Wow. And Geshem says it's true. I don't know what that means. Geshem says it's true. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way rumors start? They said, and so-and-so says it's true. Well, who are they? And who is Geshem? Amen. It didn't say the word of the Lord said. It didn't say it's found written. It didn't say, you know, the prophet said. It just said, and Geshem there, but whoever he is. Where does he get his authority from? It's always vague. The enemy's always vague, isn't he? He tries to challenge you. He tries to challenge what God's doing in you. And it's always some vague thing. Something's going to keep it from happening. Well, what something? I don't know, but it's, you know, and he says it like it's big. Something. But that's okay, because you got ammunition for the something. Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to the mountain of something, be thou removed. Isn't that right? What's up, brother? You having a good time? See, here's the difference. Too many people are moved by what they can see. You see the rubble? That was it. They'd been seeing that for years. The wall broken down, they'd been seeing that for years. You know? Now, great grandpappy remembers when the wall was up. Boy, if we'd have been alive in them days. With great grandpappy, but of course we're not. And these walls are down. And if God had wanted them up, they'd have been up by now. I just wonder, I have no way to prove it, but you can't disprove it. I wonder how many people God spoke to about rebuilding the wall before he found one that heard him and obeyed. I mean, I don't know. Was Nehemiah the first? I don't know. Might not have been. You know, many times God is, you know, I remember reading after Catherine Kuhlman, if anybody, you know who she was. She said that she was not God's first choice, second, or even third choice. But she did it because she was willing. That God had really wanted to give that ministry to two or three other people, but they wouldn't respond. She was willing. Maybe Nehemiah was just, he finally found somebody that was willing to go do it. Somebody that would take the heart of God on for this project. Somebody that had faith to rise up and do something about it. Somebody that wouldn't just camp out in the village of Ono and make excuses and say why it couldn't be done. That's the easy thing to do. It's real easy to sit back and say it can't be done. Because until somebody does it, they can't, you know, you're never proved wrong. But see, they were moved by what they could see. They could see the rubble. They could see the stones broken. And you know what also I believe they saw? Man, if the thought kind of hit their consciousness about rebuilding that, boy, that's going to be a lot of work. That is going to be a lot of work. Come on. Oh, come on, guys. Isn't that true? It's going to be a lot of work. You know, they came, you know, along with everything else, they came and said, you know what? The strength of the burden bearers is failing. The people are tired, Nehemiah. The people are weary, Nehemiah. You're working them too hard, Nehemiah. You've got too big an expectation for them, Nehemiah. You gotta slack up a little bit here, Nehemiah. Come on. See, they saw it's going to be a lot of work. See, we live in a generation where, you know, hey, I'll do it if it's easy. I'll do it if it doesn't require too much of me. I'll do it if I don't have to work too hard. I'll do it if I don't have to, you know, look at this pile of rubble and still believe God can build a wall out of it. You build the wall, then let me look at the wall, and I'll come shout with y'all at the dedication of the wall. Let me know when you get it built. We're behind you all the way. Come on. No, God had a purpose, didn't he? Yeah. Turn over, if you will, real quickly. I got to wrap this up because we're going to do communion here. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Well, it's the word the Lord gave me, so I'm sharing it with you. And listen, again, I don't care. You may, you know, everybody in here was either broken or burnt or both. Amen. But that doesn't matter. God wants you in his wall. Wall of fame. Wall of faith. Amen. You know, you go to D.C. and they got different walls, you know, got the Vietnam Memorial and all different kinds of war walls that are dedicated to what? Well, I want to tell you what. You know what? Not everybody in the United States' name is on that wall. You know who's on the wall there? The ones that fought. I said the ones that fought. I said the ones that fought. Isn't that right? 2 Kings, you know the story here. 2 Kings 6. You know, the king of Samaria kept trying to, you know, attack the king of Israel, and the prophet kept telling him where the attack was coming from. So finally, 13, the king said, find out where Elisha is, king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. Now, how in the world do you think he's going to sneak up on this guy? He knew every move he was making. I never have figured out what his thinking was on that. But anyway. We're going to sneak up on a guy that tells me everything I'm planning in my bedchamber. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, was he, Rick? Anyway, it said he's in Dothan. That's in South Alabama. He's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up the next morning, went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant said. Oh, no. That's right, Rick. That's exactly right. We know what village he is from, right?
That's right.
He'd been recruited from the village of Oh, no. You know, but all he could see was the natural. All he could see was what surrounded him. You know, circumstance, that word literally means to surround something. Circumstance. And many of us, all we can see is, like the servant, the circumstance. And we think that's all there is. That's all there is to my life is these circumstances. It's bad, it's worse, and, you know, and by the grace of God, if I live the next year, it's probably going to be worse next year. That's the oh-no thinking. Instead of it getting better. You know, the Bible says that the path of the righteous is like the sun rising in the morning. You ever got up early in the morning? Anybody? Let me see your hand. Three of us. You know, just, and if you're up early enough and you can start seeing that sun just starting to come up, just that pre-dawn light. And he said, that's the way of the righteous. It's like the sun coming up. That first you see that pre-dawn light. Then you see a little light coming up through the clouds. And then you see it coming up a little more, and it begins to hit the top of the trees or the mountains, wherever you are, and then the rooftops. And eventually it gets up to where it's strong, shining, full day, noonday sun. He said, that's the way God's plan for the righteous is. Your light, it's just going to start dawning and get brighter and get brighter and get brighter. He didn't say it's going to get darker and darker and darker. He says, so the prophet said, answer to the oh no guy, don't be afraid. Easy for you to say. Pastor's up there telling us every week, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. You're not giving a spirit. Easy for him to say. That's right. I have no problems at all. Didn't you know that? That comes with the job. I don't have any bills. I don't have any problems. I don't have anything. I just come down from heaven on Sunday and then go back up. If you believe that, I got some investments for you. Come on. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I can imagine this Ono guy. He goes, wait a minute, let me get over here by Elijah. One, two. One, 50, 100, 300, 500, 1,000. One, two. Boy, this prophet guy, he has slipped a cog. It's two of us. Two of us, and he's saying more there are with us than are with them. Of course, we would never do that, would we? Let's see, how many is there at Grace? And how many is out here? How many is at Grace? How many is out here? Come on. Some of you are more concerned about how many we have on Sunday than what God's doing in the ones that are here on Sunday. What God plans to do on the ones that are not here yet on Sunday. You're like this guy from the village of Ono. All I can do is count one, two, three. All I can count is heads. But notice what he says here. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so that he might see. Well, he thought he was seeing. If you'd asked him, he said, I'm seeing. I know I'm seeing accurately. This is how it is. Amen. Look at all those chariots. Look at those armies. Look at that big old guy over there. Man, look at this is real. And he's right. But it wasn't all that was real. And see, Ono, the people from the village of Ono, they only have natural vision. All they can see is their circumstance. All they can see is what they can touch and feel. All they can see, that's all they can compute. That's all that they can deal with. That's all the realm they live in. And so, you know, how many of you know that it takes time for the natural to catch up with the supernatural? He said, oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked again. Some of you need to look again. And he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. Boy, it doesn't say it, but I'll bet you, I'll guarantee you, he let out a whoop. Or whatever they do from that village. Come on. But what did Jesus say? He said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, you've seen and therefore you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet, and yet, and yet, and yet. See, people from the village of Ono can't do that. They have to see. They have to see. They can only believe what they see. Well, where are you from? What village are you from? Where do you hail from? I hope not the village of Ono. Amen. I hope not the village of Ono. Like Nehemiah, I declare to you, God is doing a great work. He is doing a great work. And if you can't see it, then pray that God would open your other eyes. Open your other eyes before you open. Let me put it this way. God needs to open your eyes before you open your mouth again. Amen. Because usually the mouth speaks what the eyes see. Isn't that right? Didn't Jesus teach us that? Well, here's the thing. See with the eye of the Spirit, with the eye of faith. See what God is doing. See what God's purpose and plan is. Then you can even look with the natural eye at the rubble and say, bless God, I see a beautiful wall. I see a wall built, restored lives, healed people put together, God getting glory for all that there. I see the star, the scars and the smoke and all of that, but it's going to be what? It's going to be badges of honor unto our God. And I want to tell you something, Grace. Listen, I'm not looking for the millionaires to come in this place. They're welcome too. But I want to tell you what, it's the hurting, it's the broken, it's the not mighty, it's the not great, it's the not influential, those are the people that are going to fill this house up. Those are the people that are going to fill this place up. And listen, I can already see it. I don't have to wait till it's here for me to see it. I don't have to wait. I can see. Jesus said this, he said, you can discern the weather, why can't you discern the times? Amen. I want to tell you something. There's a weather in the Spirit right now. There's some weather in the Spirit. And I can discern it. It's weather that has to do with the rain. It's weather that has to do with rain. It's weather that has to do with preparing the ground for the harvest. It is that time. Grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray over you, and then we're going to have our communion together. Thank you, Lord.